Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. Get up, get out of bed, and get out in your backyard and fire up a grill. We're having this Indian summer that never really left us. We've had some incredibly warm weather where we are. And it just doesn't seem to get fall yet, but we're looking forward to it. Football season's in full swing, and Barbecue Bob and I are doing some tailgating. So I'm Jop, and he is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, buddy. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining the Grilling Guys. This week, we are going to talk all about fire cooking at camp. We're going to get ahead of the program because some of you have already made it out deer hunting a little bit. And a lot of times we get into the deer hunting food closer to rifle opener, which right. I don't know why we always wait, because me personally, I spend more time bow hunting than I do rifle hunting. But I think the tradition has always been, you know, everybody goes to deer camp for the big rifle opener.
Yep.
So that's the food prep. But actually, deer camp can go on from now until the first of the year. So,
well, I've got the first one this weekend. Barbecue Bob and I are going to go down and cater the Michigan State game.
We're not caterers.
Yeah, right. We're gonna have fun. You can cater down there. You just can't do it in East Lansing. But I'm missing a deer camp today. My buddies down in Shartucky, Tim Pruden and crew, are having their deer camp today, and I'm usually the camp cook. I've done it the last couple of years, but because we've got this conflict of you and I headed to Ann Arbor to do this big tailgate, that I'm not going to be able to make it. I'm a little bummed out about it, quite frankly, because it's a lot of fun, and I do that. I just bring down the big smoker and the grill, and whatever anybody brings over, I'm cooking. Uh-huh. You know, and it's kind of fun because you kind of shoot from the hip on this stuff. A lot of times the guys they'll bring a duck by or something, and you get to play with it a little bit and turn it into something.
They play Stump the Jop.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, Stump the Cook, right?
But, octopus, yes, I do octopus.
Yeah, right.
Got his Google search engine going while he's in the
outhouse. Excuse me, I got to go to the outhouse, yeah.
Wi-Fi sucks out here. So, we want to talk a little fire cooking at the camp. I had to get out some. I've got just a huge rack of collection of books of different types of ways to grill and cook and whatever. And
sure.
I don't pull them out nearly enough, I'd have to say.
Getting in a rut. You know, yeah, you do the same thing all the time.
That's right.
Right.
And so when I do pull them out, I'll pull them out for one thing, and I'll spend an hour just looking at all the other cool things these people bothered to, commit to pen and paper. So
right.
it's a good idea to pull those out. I have a book on cuisine. It's called The Complete Book of Gastronomical Events or something like that. I don't know. It's really
that's
cool.
That's on cuisine?
It's gigantic, but it's all about food and your, you know, nutrition and all this stuff, and it's 2 inches thick.
Have you read it?
And I was going to take it to the BVI, but it was too big to bring on the plane.
Yeah.
Because I had 10 days there. I thought, well, right, maybe I could get through this thing because it's a beast.
Right.
But no, I pulled out a couple of cool books. One was Cooking with Fire by Paula Marcoux. We had her on a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a neat, very eclectic fire worshiper.
I remember that. Yep.
Yeah. And but this week I picked up a couple tri-tips from Sobeys, and they were beautiful. They were on sale at a price I couldn't refuse. I had to buy some. So I picked up some tri-tips, and they had actually been in my fridge for maybe 7 days or so, cryovac'd, so I knew they were fine. Last night, two nights ago, I guess it was, my electrician was over. We're finishing up the wiring so we can get our drywall up. And I was really hungry, and he had to go home for dinner, and I said, you want a little bite of steak before you go home? And he just smiled because he knew he was going home to spaghetti with the kids.
Right.
So I cut up that tri-tip, and what I do is, if you look at a tri-tip, it looks like a little mini brisket.
Yep.
It's got those long grains of meat, long strands.
Comes to a point on one end, it's thicker on the other. Right, yeah.
It's kind of a little brisket. Well, Tommy Brand, the famous restaurateur here, took that piece years ago and cut it across the grain into little steaks, and he calls it the sizzler. And that's why you have those sizzlers at Brand's, famous steak for them. But it's a tri-tip. And he might use ball tips sometimes, but I'm pretty sure his is a tri-tip. And anyway, I cut those up, and I put just some a nice little, I think it's called like a boulinet seasoning on it, and threw them on the
little
grill.
Little EVO?
Yeah, I did, actually. You're right. I put some butter EVO on them because that's what was in my hand.
Right.
And put some of that boulinet on there and threw them on the grill to about medium rare. And my buddy James, my neighbor, the electrician, he took one bite and he started like moaning.
No, he's like, honey, yeah. I'm stuck on a job site. I'm going to miss the spaghetti dinner.
He was a little late for spaghetti, but he was moaning. And I said, isn't that great? It was like $8 a pound on sale.
Right.
And maybe less. Might have been $6.99. Tri-tips.
Yeah, you can't get this everywhere. Your big box grocery store probably doesn't carry that. You're going to have to go to a butcher shop, but it's called tri-tip, and it's like a poor man's filet. There's just two of them on each cow. They're very small. They're about 3 pounds a piece, and you can get these things at your better butcher shops. And
and things have changed a bit. That piece has gotten so popular that I was at Costco, and I found an entire case of them.
Oh, okay.
I didn't buy them, but I was shocked. I thought, my gosh, how many cows did they have to take care of to fill this case with just tri-tips?
Right.
But it has become very popular. If you're in California, you'll see a 20-foot section of nothing but tri-tips. They're tri-tip freaks out there.
Huh.
It's tri-tip. And they cook the whole thing. They don't cut it up, which most people do like to cook it whole or smoke it. I simply love steaks, and I get a better control over the temperature.
Right.
I don't like anything well done, and that tip gets done too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And now the chef's secret on that is that's what you're cutting off while you're grilling.
That's right.
So that's one way to get around that.
That's the chef's sample.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But some people like to smoke a tri-tip, and I've done that a few times. It's a great thing to have. And another thing I played with is I made some pork carnitas. And I took that leftover pulled pork I had from New Union. I had one nice chunk left.
Yeah.
And I cut it into kind of like steak profile.
It was still raw?
No, it was all smoked.
Right.
It was all smoked. And I get sick of barbecued pork.
It's monotonous.
When I pull it off the smoker, I'll take a bite. But if I've got it in the fridge, I'll give it away. I don't like it. I don't know. So I thought, I got to do something with this. So I just cut it into like maybe inch and a half sections, and I put some of my favorite Mexican blend on it, and I threw it on the grill real quick.
Just to heat it back up.
Crispened it.
Yeah.
I crispened it up like a carnita would be. And holy cow. That turned out so nice.
That's Chinese.
No, that's bad. Easy, white boy. So, carnitas. Yeah. Very, very good. Now, November 2nd, we're going to be at Schmoe's, it looks like.
Good.
For a GI barbecue fundraiser. November 2nd, put that in your calendars. We're going to talk about it in the final segment. But if you've got your calendars handy, sync them, because we're going to do a fundraiser for GI barbecue. We're going to have lots of cool stuff to raffle off, great beer, and some good barbecue.
Yeah. It's always a lot of fun to head to Schmoe's, and they've got a great environment, got a big patio out there. Like I said, we'll be talking about that.
And if you're elsewhere, that's a West Michigan brewery, so it wouldn't make any sense to you, but their Oktoberfest this year is spot on.
Yep.
And I'm kind of over Oktoberfest. Well, not this one. This one's dialed in.
Coming up next, smoked pork chops, meatballs, bacon wrap, tenderloin, and a whole lot of seasoning. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back. It's Mardi Gras up in the clouds. I'm up so high, may never come down.
I'll try anything to drown out the pain. Hey, when's the last time you had a really great week?
root beer float.
Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I have ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
It's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to oldworldolivepress.com.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orin Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. Get out of bed, put your feet on the floor, and get out in the backyard and get your tailgate going. Barbecue Bob and I are going to head to Ann Arbor after the show today and go down and tailgate with our friends from Miller Canfield Law Firm. Looking forward to spending the afternoon and evening. We got a 7:30 kickoff, so we're going to have a lot of
fun. Yeah, so that's going to go good. I see our producer has his U of M shirt on, so that's going to be a good game. Going to be really good. It is every year, no matter how either team's doing, when that one happens. They're completely different teams. Would you agree with that, Mr. Producer?
Oh, yeah. Regardless of records, record stats don't mean anything. In an in-state rivalry game, everything's off the table.
Or any rivalry that's heated like that.
Yeah.
I think of Michigan-Ohio State. You know, that it doesn't matter how either one of them are doing. When those two play together, they're out for blood.
Even Michigan State-Ohio State to some extent.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. But not nearly as much vengefulness as the other two.
Yep.
Spartans are just nicer people.
Yeah,
that's basically what happens there. So I want to talk about cheating. Yeah. Going to deer camp and cheating. Bringing your smoked pork chops up with
I'm not opposed to this, by the way. You know what?
And I started doing this, I'm going to say 10 years ago. I used to go to a place out in the woods that made smoked pork chops that I thought were delicious. After having better ones, I learned that his were way too salty.
Right.
So find a guy that knows how to smoke a pork chop, your local butcher, if you don't want to smoke them yourself. But there's something about getting back in from sitting in a deer blind or from walking through the woods all night or whatever it is, especially if it's really cold, and stoking that fire back up, throwing the tripod over it, and pulling out a couple vacuum-packed, inch-and-a-half cut pork chops, nice and thick, and maybe you were smart enough before you left to throw some paper, some foil, some potatoes and some foil, and put them around the edge of the fire so those will be done by the time you get back. But if not, you'll just have a dinner roll or something, because as soon as that chop comes off, you're just going to be chowing on it.
Yeah, it's so they're very good. You know, and one man's cheat's another man's shortcut, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to spend an hour cooking when I get back. I want to spend 15 minutes heating something up so I can eat because you're hungry, right?
That's why chili's so popular, I think, at deer camp. You know, you can do the same thing. You can kind of throw your pot on the side of the fire and just let it slowly warm up. That's a handy way to cook. And I didn't say what kind of device I would do that in, by the way. Just making note of that.
Yeah, the words kettle did not come out of his mouth, nor did the other word.
Yeah.
So we'll leave it at that.
So here's another cool thing you can do. And my wife is good at making meatloaf, but I tend to specialize in meatballs only because I've had some great meatballs and I've had some really horrible ones. And for some reason, people love meatballs. There's no bone, there's no fat. You know, it's generally accompanied with either a great gravy or a marinade or something like that.
Marinara.
Yeah.
Some sauce.
Yep. That's what I meant, marinara. So one thing you can do is you can form these up before you leave the house. Cheat a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And form these up and throw them in the freezer. And if you got a vacuum sealer, better yet. And then throw them in your cooler because now you've got a block of ice in your cooler.
Yep.
Because why haul ice to deer camp? It's going to be cold out anyway, chances are.
Right.
And by the time they're thawed, that's the night you're going to cook them.
Right. Magic.
And you just put them on the tripod and you roll them around. Try not to let them roll off. But you just, you know, make sure you bring some tongs with you because they're a little dangerous. They'll get loose on you if you
start. The tripod you're talking about is a grate that hangs over an open fire.
Yeah, or maybe you've got a grate that swings. You know, they got the post in the ground and now they pivot over. There's plenty of cool ways you can put a grate over your fire. But yeah, I particularly like born to grill tripod.
Right. and there's a couple things about those. Is one, generally you don't want to cook over the open flame part. You want to cook over the coals to get that radiant heat. And the other thing is with the one that Bob's talking about, is there's a chain on the grate that you can raise and lower it to get it further or closer to the fire.
Which is really handy.
Right, very handy, because that's how you're controlling the temperature on an open fire like that.
Doesn't our big stainless grill have something like that?
Yeah, yep, it does. I've
never seen it yet, by the way.
Well, yeah, okay. But the charcoal grill that we have, one of them that we have, has a adjustable coal bed on it. So maybe some of you out there have one of those.
Oh, so the coal bed actually moves?
Yeah, the coal bed itself. The grates are stable, and the coal bed moves up and down underneath it.
I'm guessing this is in your backyard.
I'm guessing it's in my garage.
Okay.
But when I want to cook with it, it comes out into the backyard.
Does it have wheels?
It does.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's easy to roll.
Yeah, you've seen it. But anyway. You've got some things I've seen, too. But anyway, let's talk next about this bacon-wrapped pork tenderloin. So you're doing pork on pork with that one.
Yeah, not kosher.
Right?
Doubly not kosher.
I get it.
So I think pork tenderloins are fantastic. They're just a beautiful little thing to grill up. Do you do those much?
I do. They're the ones that are about as big around as a tennis ball and maybe like a foot long.
Again, it's the cheating show.
Yeah.
I get the ones that are pre-marinated.
Yeah.
They're usually on sale, so I'm a sucker for a sale.
At a big box store, yep. They'll have those cryovac'd with some sort of seasoning on them. Any number of mesquite or lemon
pepper. Yeah,
there's
like lemon pepper is really good. Teriyaki's good. I particularly like the lemon pepper.
Right. And you pop them out of there. And
then wrap them in bacon.
Right.
Because they're already marinated.
Right.
So you're pulling in like kind of a layered flavor thing. And then when you wrap them in your bacon, you put a toothpick on, maybe if you have to or two. But I think to put some kind of a nice paprika-based spice on it to give it a nice red glaze
on top
is
of
really
the bacon.
Cool on the bacon, yeah. And then indirect grill it. So you're really kind of baking it or smoking it for an hour or however long it's going to take to get it up to 130, 135. And then throw it on the direct flame for the last 5 or 10 minutes to finish off that last 10 to 15 degrees you want to get and crisp that bacon up because you don't want it to be rubbery.
Right. The magic of what Bob just said is that by putting it on the indirect heat, you're going to render the fat out of the bacon, almost all of it, and it doesn't hit the flame and burn up.
It also tends to kind of congeal.
Tighten it up.
Yeah.
It tightens.
Bacon
shrinks kinda, when you cook it, right?
Yeah. And it tends to stiffen up a little bit so it doesn't do one of those unraveling things that is so annoying.
Now, you can wrap it. You can do a bacon weave. You can do any kind of bacon you want on there. But at the end of the day, that indirect heat for the first hour tightens that bacon up. So when you do start to handle it and move it over onto the hot side of the grill, it's not going to fall apart for you.
Right.
That's it. So just a little little tip there on how to do that. And at the end of the day, what you're trying to do is get that to 145, 150
yep.
on the inside and get your bacon so it's not rubbery, and then you know it's done.
Yeah.
Right? And the seasoning thing is a good...
And then you slice it like a roll. So, you know, you're cutting it into little chops.
Like a jelly roll almost. Yeah,
you're cutting it into little chops. Mm. And it's a fantastic presentation that way, too. But you're not worried about presentation up at Deer Camp. I mean, I guess you kind of are, because when you bring it out, if everybody's just going nuts, it just makes your effort that much more worthwhile. But so what I would do for a rub on that tenderloin if I were
not buying the marinated
one is I'd do something like garlic, paprika, chili powder, sugar and black pepper along those lines, and then, of course, some sea salt. But it's something like that profile. You know, when you go with garlic, paprika, and chili and sugar, you're kind of there for a whole bunch of things.
Well, that's kind of like the base ingredients for almost every barbecue.
It is.
So if
some of them have onion powder. Some of them have cumin. Some have a little thyme.
Right.
So
most of the time.
Yeah, thank you. So I don't know. I think cooking over an open fire to me, now it depends on what time of the season it is. But right now the nights are nice, but it's only cool out. You're not sitting in snow.
Right.
And a lot of guys don't deer hunt like maybe we do, where you're building a fire outside every night and making your meals in the snow. To a lot of people, that sounds really unappealing. To you, it probably sounds really unappealing.
Well, I like to watch you do it.
Yeah, but I mean, if you have the right gear on, if you have a nice warm pair of boots, because the feet are everything, there's something about sitting around a fire and watching your meat just render, and makes that beer taste even better.
Right. Coming up next, there's a trader in the camp with a big skillet. Stick with us. We'll be back. And the thunder rolls.
And the thunder rolls. The thunder rolls and the lightning strikes. Another love grows cold.
Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grillin' Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grillin' Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grillin' Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in each and every weekend. Listen to a couple knuckleheads talk about stuff we love to do, which would be grilling, smoking, hunting, fishing, and a little tailgating that we're doing this time of year as well. I'm Jop, And he is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
It would be a good time to be out fishing. I see lots of guys
rivers are full, yeah.
Yeah, but I have not had a fishing pole in my hand much the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Sad. Well,
you're a little wrapped up right now.
Sad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Full Belly Deli. I want to talk about kettle baking.
Okay.
Whether it's a Dutch oven or if you just
there
have
you said it.
If you have a cast iron kettle, if you're going up to cook on the fire and you're not bringing one of these things, you're missing out, buddy.
Right, making a mistake. Yep. I agree with that.
Yep. Because it's too easy. And we talk about heading off to the deer stand at 3 o'clock. Or whatever time you go out to your blind. Some guys go to 4:45. But yeah. Either way.
They don't start moving until an hour before dark.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Wrong. Yeah. So it's just easy to throw something in there and slow roll it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things you can do, like I've got that big, I don't know if I ever told you, but I have a 12-quart Dutch oven.
Let me think. No, I never heard about that before.
So an easy way to cheat is, this is a cheating show, I told you that.
Right.
Trader Joe's has awesome pizza dough that they sell frozen.
Okay.
So there again, it's something else you can keep in your freezer, throw it in your cooler, because another frozen thing, right? I'm all about bringing up as much frozen stuff as I can, so yep. You can't, where I'm at, you can't run to town easily for ice.
Right.
It's a haul. So once you get there, guess what? You're there.
Right.
If you forgot coffee, you're going to make a run.
You're drinking another beer. Yeah.
But anyway, they sell this pizza dough. It's in a little plastic bag. And everybody's got a Trader Joe's, I think. My wife loves the place. She buys this stuff, and it's just, they have, I don't know, 5-10 variations of it.
So you thaw it out,
yeah,
right?
And
you roll it out, or you just throw it in there in a ball?
You just kind of knead it and get it to a nice big the size that's going to fit the bottom of your kettle or whatever you're doing. Maybe it's a wok, or maybe you've just got a big skillet and you want to throw a lid on it. That same thing will work.
Right.
But it's got to be something you can rotate in the fire, because you're not going to place this right over the fire. You might put some coals under it with a shovel and coals on top if you've got that type of lid with a ridge. But basically, you're going to take a pizza crust, put lots of EVO in the bottom so it's nice and crispy, and then just throw whatever you like on a pizza on top, put the lid on it, and forget about it. And that's deer camp. I mean, you can do that at deer camp. It's that easy, because it's just bags of stuff you have in your cooler. Matter of fact, if you want to make it simple, package the whole thing up and throw it in one Ziploc bag in your cooler, so you pull that one meal out, pull it all together, your Parmesan, your mozzarella. And
a little bit of sauce, some meat and vegetables.
Who gets pizza at deer camp?
I know.
Not many people.
That sounds awesome.
It's great, because we tend to eat too much meat at deer camp. And that's, you just really need some variety in your diet after a while.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because it makes interesting trips to the outhouse, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Or none.
Yeah, exactly.
So
so let's talk about a big skillet breakfast. This is a place where... This is my favorite meal of the day.
Is it?
Is a big old skillet breakfast.
Well, that's why you got that big skillet.
That's right. And you can put about anything that you can think of for breakfast can all be cooked at the same time in this skillet. And then you got guys standing around that are watching you do it. And then when it comes time to serve it up, it's kind of cool, like hammer your plate and you're going around the skillet, grabbing the stuff out of there, putting it all on a plate and handing it to a guy hot right out of the same pan. You got one thing to clean up. One of my favorite things.
I didn't
things
say
to
this
do.
Was healthy.
Right. It's not healthy, no, because I'm doing taters and onions in there,
right.
and then you got some bacon or sausage that are greasing the pan up for you, and then the eggs come in at the end, and you know, fried eggs with canned potatoes and some bacon or sausage. Man, my mouth's watering just thinking about it.
So try this. So do some your favorite breakfast sausage, fry it up, pull it out, leave the grease in there, throw your onions and peppers in, throw your potatoes in, put the lid on it, cook those down for 15 minutes.
Right.
And then crumple that bacon or sausage up, throw it over the potatoes, stir it all together, and then put about 6 or 7 whipped eggs in there, throw some cheese on top, put that lid back on, and close her down and let her set for about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And you'll have... a fantastic breakfast.
Yep.
And get your salsa ready.
Yeah.
Because that is that's good. That's comfort food, man.
Yep.
Again, if it's cold out, that warm food really hits it.
Well, that, and I think the skillet that you got me is like a 16 or 18 inch skillet. Yeah. So you can make food for a lot of dudes.
Oh yeah,
in
you
that
could
thing.
Feed like five guys in that thing quite easily.
Yep. And as the camp cook, when they come back, it's all ready. And something like that is you got a buffer of 15, 20 minutes from the time you can pull it off. That cast will still keep it hot.
Yep.
And you can serve it as guys come in if they're not all in at the same time.
You know what else you can do? You can do that in a Dutch oven.
Really? What can't you do in a Dutch oven?
Well, very
maybe
little.
Make a radio
very
show.
Very little. Very
maybe you can't
little.
Make a radio show with a Dutch little. Oven. But we're trying every time.
Please beat me. Beat me. Beets.
You like beets?
Have you ever done whole beets?
I can tell you.
Wrapped in foil. You throw them next to the fire. You let them roast for about an hour and a half. And I'll tell you what, it will not taste anything like you expected. You pull that foil. You love foil. Here's your foil, Daddy. So you pull that foil off, and then the skin, this husk is around the outside. It's already kind of like the it's a root vegetable, right? So that potato type thing inside has shrunk now, and that skin literally will zip right off it. It'll like fall out of the thing, and it's really healthy for you, and the flavor is phenomenal.
Did you season it with anything?
No. I might put a little cracked pepper and some salt on it when I'm ready, or butter or something like
to
that.
To eat but it.
It's just so good the way it is. My mouth's watering.
Really?
It's that good.
And boy.
I never when my friend first did it, I thought, okay, well, you're a whacked out, crocodile, croc-wearing freak. No?
Nope. He was beating a path to your appetite,
yeah,
right?
It was good.
Yeah.
That's all you hear on the radio now is beets, super beets and all this stuff. It's really, really healthy food, so
right. It's
okay if you accidentally have some healthy food at deer camp.
Yeah, it's just going to mess everything up.
Beat
man.
Me.
It's just going to mess everything up. But okay, so what is this Saarland Schwarzenbraten? Did I murder that?
Schwenkbraten.
Okay.
It is from Saarland, which is a region, it's like between Germany and France. It's a little region in Germany. And they use pork neck. I have never in my life cooked or eaten that I know of pork neck. I probably have in sausage.
Well, they do it when you do a whole hog. There's neck meat on
it. Yeah,
there.
Well, this is a specific cut that they're. This is a delicacy, and it's called Schwenkbraten. And you
had some of this recently?
No, it was in this Cooking by Fire by this Paula Marcot and the. The pictures and the description are beautiful, and it just looks fantastic. You only cook it to 145.
Okay.
So I'm thinking
so
it's
you're not drying it out.
I'm thinking it's a tender piece of meat. When you look at it in her illustration, I mean, it's just a gorgeous piece of meat on a grate. She's cooking it on a swinging grate. She swings the grate as she cooks it.
It's a poor man's rotisserie?
I don't know, but she says to have a beer and swing the grate. So how can you argue with that?
I can. No. I want to try it just because it sounds interesting. And I can drink a beer while I'm doing it, right? That's Grilling Guy.
I know.
That's got Grilling Guy all
like
over it.
I like this girl.
Right.
We got to have her out to deer camp.
So I got
to
believe, though, that this neck meat, that it's deboned and
no,
the skin's
off? No, the bone's
off?
In it.
The bone's in it.
Yep.
Man, a hog neck is, what, a foot around?
Well,
I mean,
I think
big
it's like a steak cut out of it. I don't think it's the entire
thing.
It looks more like almost like a country rib when you look at it. You know, it's kind of like about the size of a New York strip. And it's about an inch and a half thick.
Interesting.
I know.
We'll look it up on the internet.
Yeah.
Coming up next, it's the holy grail for Barbecue Bob. We're going to be speaking with Mark Kelly from Lodge Company, which makes Dutch ovens. Imagine that. This guy, we have to get him on at least twice a year because,
it's a bromance.
Bob has a huge bromance with this guy and his products. But anyway,
he's good people.
Coming up next, it's Mark Kelly from The Lodge. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats, as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
We live it, we love it, Allen Bob Sports. Sportsmen serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport, it's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our aim. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it, Allen Bob Sports. Sportsmen serving sportsmen.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from the Grillin' Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's SAFFIRE at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at StandaleLumber.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in each and every weekend to listen to us knuckleheads talk about a little grilling, smoking, hunting, fishing, and anything else that comes to mind. And we're in that category right now. This is the Holy Grail for Barbecue Bob. I'm going to hand it to you, brother. Run with this.
Well, Jop and I have this ongoing conversation because he thinks I bring up my Dutch oven too much. And I probably do, but I'm getting lazy, and I've learned to just have crutches. And I use that thing for a lot of different things. And so... Anytime I talk about Lodge, it just makes me think of our good friend Mark Kelly down in Tennessee. And we captured that rascal on the grilling line right now. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
Well, we're talking all things getting ready for deer camp, so it's the perfect time for a Lodge conversation.
Yeah, deer camp's right around the corner. We're seeing them moving around a lot in our area of the country, so they're getting prepared for hunting season.
Yes. I think that's their training camp. They have to learn to run a little faster. So you've got a lot of cool new products. You've got a huge expansion to your forge. Tell us, first of all, tell the folks out here around the country about Lodge just a little bit.
We've been in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee for 121 years. Joseph Lodge started the company in 1896. We're still family-owned, and we make over 140 different pieces of cast iron cookware, everything from skillets to Dutch ovens and little serving pieces. I guess the best thing for people who are interested in the American economy, we sell to 3,000 different dealers in the States, with Walmart being considered one dealer. But more importantly, we're also sold in 60 countries around the world. And an unreported story is American manufacturing is revered all over the world. So we pump iron all over the world and pump American manufacturing all over the world.
Well, Mark, that's fabulous. You know, that's a great story, a company that is that old and has that much heritage. It's got to be hard to continue to innovate when you've been around that long, but I know you got some new products on the market. Talk to us about those.
Yeah, we've updated a couple of pieces. Our 10-inch skillet and a 12-inch skillet, traditionally they've had a primary handle and assist handle. We introduced those in the spring with two assist handles. They're really wonderful to work with on the stovetop. And in our product development research, we noticed that a lot of people using Green Eggs and other grills were cutting off the primary handle so the hood wouldn't clamp down on that handle. So we introduced those, and they've become very popular. We also introduced an 8-inch skillet with loop handles and a 9-inch wok. And both the 8-inch skillet and wok were introduced to initially to our South Korean and Japanese distributors, and they loved them. But they've really taken on a lot of interest with local or domestic chefs and other cooks. So those are four new seasoned cast iron products. We were so busy with our foundry, we could not come up with new products just to meet current demand. So now we've got new products.
So explain to the listeners this process of seasoning your skillet and the importance thereof.
Well, we do it kind of in a manufacturing way, but basically you bake on fat or oil or whatever your choice, whether it's vegetable Crisco. Some people like to use lard. But essentially, you rub it all over the cookware, and prior to that, you put aluminum foil on the bottom rack of your oven, preheat the oven at 350 degrees, and then you put the skillet or other piece of cookware on the middle rack upside down and bake it on for an hour, and then turn off the oven and let it cool off, and then you just start cooking. And the more you cook and the better you maintain that skillet, the better the natural easy release becomes. And as most of us know, if you keep on doing that, you won't have any problems, and it's natural nonstick. And the more you use it, the better it gets. And quite frankly, there are pieces of cast iron out there, obviously not ours, but that are hundreds of years old that people are using. So if you're sweet to it, it'll be sweet to you.
So let's talk a little bit about that, Mark, because the clean freaks that are out in the world want to put a disc scratcher on that thing and a bunch of Dawn dish soap and clean it out every time after they're done using it. And that's really a no-no, right?
Well, mild soap's okay. Really, it's your trip, man, whatever you want to do with it. Personally, I don't do that. And if you're really a germaphobe, just think water boils at 212 degrees, which makes everything antiseptic. Anything you cook in a cast iron skillet is going to get a minimum of 350 to 400 degrees. So any bacteria that may be in there is going to be gone. So you don't need to worry about that. Just think, people were using these skillets and pots way back in the Middle Ages, and they didn't get sick from it. So it's perfectly fine. It goes against our current society of germaphobes, but this is basic chemistry and physics. It gets hot, it burns out whatever bacteria may be in there, and it cooks better than just about anything in the universe.
You know, what's the biggest standard long-handled skillet you make?
It's our 15-inch skillet.
Okay, that's what I bought Jop for Christmas last
right.
year.
Yep.
It's Love a monster, it. And it's bigger than my old one.
And you need that assist handle on there because the thing weighs about 20 pounds, and you got to be a man to grab that with one hand. That assist handle on there is wonderful.
So since
only an NFL linebacker could pick that up one-handed, I can guarantee that.
So since his was bigger than mine and size matters, when I was at your store, I found the one you have with two handles. What's that, an 18-inch?
It's a 17-inch skillet. It's real popular with restaurants and campers. They can cook bacon and eggs for everybody in the camp and
it actually
a big old time. It's also, if you're really into deep dish pizza, that makes one heck of a pizza.
Well, that's a good idea, and I also bought the cast iron pizza pan you have. So
yeah,
there's just so many.
I use mine all the time. It's an amazing piece of iron.
Yeah, Mark, I've got to ask this question on behalf of my buddy Bob. How many Dutch ovens should a guy have, and are there a variety of sizes that you can get?
How many recipes are there in the world?
There you go. All right, touche.
I mean, really, everybody has friends you invite over, and you have to prepare different things. And it's outdoor cooking is an underappreciated art, and you can invite friends over or new acquaintances and cook a wide variety of things. And when you do that and sit down and eat, most of the world's problems disappear because you're talking about just eating and your family and stuff, and everything goes away. part of what we should do all the time.
Absolutely. Yes. Hey, Mark, the Dutch ovens, some of them come with a lid on them where you can put that has a little rim around it so that it'll hold the coals, and others of them don't. Yeah. What's the difference in those is if somebody was considering getting a new Dutch oven?
The ones with the flange lid and the legs, we call those camp Dutch ovens. And you can literally put the coals on the top and put the pot in the coals, and it creates an oven effect. When you buy one of those, there's actually a cookbook and a brochure describing how to create the proper heat for things. The wonderful thing about it is you can do virtually every cooking technique with those, and the lid flips over to become a shallow griddle. But that's the biggest difference. And you can put it as a bale handle. You can hang it over the fire. So they're extremely versatile. That's the difference. The other ones are what I call stovetop Dutch ovens. Those are primarily used indoors, although you can put them on. I use one of mine on the grill all the time to do baked beans and similar things and get that nice smoky flavor.
Mm. Well, Mark, it's so nice to talk to you. Mark Kelly, Lodge Cast Iron Foundry, and tell us, what is that big freeway you're on in Tennessee?
We're on I-24, about 30 miles west of Chattanooga. It's the Kimball-South Pittsburgh exit. Just hang a right when you get off, and we're about 2 miles down at the factory store. And it's a heck of an experience. They've got everything we have and a lot of other accessories. And the great thing is it's a local business, and it supports the local economy.
Thanks so much, Mark. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks, Bob. Y'all have a great day and a great weekend.
All right.
That's a guy that's got a great job, and he loves his job because he's helping people cook outside like nobody else is. And I do give you a lot of hassle about this Dutch oven.
Oh, it's just
fun. It's a great piece of equipment. It's an absolutely great piece of equipment. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about a party we're going to have at Schmoe's. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Got a glamour shot in her hip pocket, hoping somebody thinks she's pretty. By this time tomorrow, she'll hit Colorado.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson. That's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids. We even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Is very, very essential, and it's this. In negotiation, never make the first offer.
So you just sit there looking at each other because somebody's got to do it, right? It's the other guy?
Well, it kind of goes hand in hand with the first one to talk buys. It's the same thing when you're teaching somebody to sell and they do their close. The next person that talks after you do your close, whoever talks first, buys. So if you do your close and say, and this is my best price and I think you should buy it today, then you sit quiet. And the next person to talk
is the winner.
Is the loser.
Right. Yeah. The winner of the deal. Right. The loser of writing a check. So Barbecue Bob, we're not pandering. We're just going to keep on this train because we believe in this. Our Operation GI Barbecue, we're going to try to do an event now so that we can raise the rest of this money to push us over the top and get these grills to Camp Pendleton. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, we're going to meet at Schmoe's, and it's going to be November 2nd It's a Thursday from 5 to 9. It's right in Grand Rapids, Michigan, 28th Street and 96 on Patterson there by the Big Ice Arena. And so you're right by the freeway. If you want to come in, it's like literally a half mile off the freeway. It's nothing. And we're going to, Jop and I are going to smoke up some butts and briskets and some ribs. And it's going to be donations. We're going to buy all the food. I didn't tell you that part.
Got it.
We're
going to
buy all the food. And whatever you donate goes to GI Barbecue. We'll have a bunch of really cool shirts from Derek, who was on the show a few weeks ago. Nice t-shirt. I'm wearing one right now, by the way. See that?
I see that.
Yep. And we've got still a few mugs left over. We've got a few trinkets of this and that.
I was down in Shartucky last week, and I won this awesome Weber kettle grill set, complete set with the tongs, seasoning, sauces, rubs. I've got all of a book that goes with it, the eye grill.
So let's auction that off,
too. Yeah, we'll auction that off, too. I'll throw that in the mix. Absolutely. We'll do that so that somebody can go home with a really nice package.
Yeah, so we need to just keep raising money to pay for the expense of getting the stuff out there and, of course, the stuff we have to do while we're there.
Yeah.
Which is buy a bunch of pork and brisket.
Yep.
So we're going to go feed some Marines, and we're going to have a good time, but we need some help. It's GIBBQ.com, and just click the donate button. Get your Visa out. Go big or go home.
Right.
You can check us out on thegrillinguys.com, and go to our website. It's a good resource. There's lots, and all the shows are archived there. You can click on a link and get to any one of our sponsors. If we talk about a cool product, you click the link and you're going to go right to their sale page. If they've got any specials, you get the best price. Also up in the top right corner, you'll see a headset. If you're one of those podcasters, you can actually get that thing sent right to your phone. It's a wonderful technology. It's amazing. It's a miracle.
Always a miracle.
Our golden voice is going right to your phone.
Right. We appreciate you listening to the Grilling Guys each and every week. If you're going out deer hunting, be safe. If you're up in a tree or in a blind, just put your strap on, would you? And make sure that you don't fall out of there, because we want you listening next week. And we'll talk with you then.